Good evening. We thank God that He has spared us, given us another opportunity that we might assemble together and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. I want to thank the Brown Street Church, all you brothers and sisters, for having me down. I appreciate it. And I want to thank all of you for the hospitality that's been shown this week. I have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed all of it. And I've known you all and appreciated you for all these many years. And I thank you for all of the help and stuff that you have given to me. Brother, I've been helped so much by you all until I just appreciate you so much. And I thank you for this week. And thank Brother Wright and Sister Janice for their encouragement in this over here and for what they have encouraged us in Mansfield. Brother Wright will come and preach several meetings for us over the years. And we always appreciate him and Sister Janice. I told Brother Wright one time about getting him. He's always booked up. He said, but Brother James, you might be able to get me anytime. I said, well, I don't know about that. But I appreciate him so much. Brother Wright is a great, great man, and he does a fine job, and so does you. That's right. Brother, when I see an audience like this, you are the one that keep the Lord in business. The church here is a fine group, and I know all of you, know all of the elders and so forth, and known when some of them was baptized. All right, and I thank you all for being here this week. This week I went by so fast, I've enjoyed it, and I want to thank Brother Leroy for driving me. Brother Leroy been hanging right in there. And he drives me. He'd tell me he'd be there. What time he'd be there? He'd be there on the dot, too. And I appreciate him a lot. He's a fine man. He's a fine Christian. And he's an asset to the Lord. And I thank all of you for being here. I'm going to talk some tonight about Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. And I want you all to turn your Bibles to that passage, and we're going to talk about the prodigal son. Because what I see when I read this, I've been in the church, brethren, a long time. And I've seen this happen time and time again. And I know those of you that's been in the lowest church here can identify people just like this. And I want you all to listen at the lesson and take and apply it. Look at Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 11. The Father in this passage represents God. It represents God. And Jesus didn't put this in the book just to make the book larger. I preach sometime on parables because I know God wouldn't have placed them there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have brought them down here and put them in the book had he not taught a lesson. There's great lessons in this. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. And so I want you all to follow me in the Bible, and let's look at it. And notice what it says in Luke 15 and verse 11. Here it begins, and read it. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Soon he divided to them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. It took a journey into the far country. He gathered everything together. And when he taking that journey into the far country, the Bible says he wasted his substance with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then it says in verse 15, keep your Bibles there. Then he went and joined himself into a man of that country, a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. I got to get these glasses changed and I get back to Mansfield, brother. 16. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the parts that the swine ate, and no one gave unto him. Notice verse 17, if you please. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Then he said this in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father. And what will he say? And say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven and before you. Verse 19. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. Verse 21. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son that was dead and is alive. He was lost and now found. And they began to be merry. That's where I'm going to stop for right now. We'll talk about the older son a little bit later. This young man, you see this a lot. The father represents God. Now, the first point I want to make in this lesson tonight, this man was divided. What do you mean, Brother Bud? Did he just wake up that one morning and decide all of this? The Bible says he went to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me my inheritance now. He wasn't willing to wait. He wanted his now. He wanted it. And the Bible says, not many days later, he'd taken his trip into the far country. He left. Now, the point that I want to tell you is, this young man was divided. What do you mean, Brother Bond, divided? His heart was in the far country, but his body was at home. That's right. He didn't just wake up one morning and make a decision, I'm going into the far country. He was divided. He was divided. He take the country into the far country. And the Bible says, if you notice it, please. The Bible says he took all of his possession. Everything that he had, he'd taken it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When he got ready to go, he took all of his wealth. Hey, David. He'd taken everything he had. He'd taken that Christian character that he had. Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, a good name is better to be chosen than silver and gold. He'd taken that with him. What did this represent? I've seen this go over a few times. He went into the far country and he'd taken everything he had. He'd taken his good name. He'd taken his influence. He'd taken all of his wealth. Everything he had, he'd taken with him. Who did this represent? This represents a man that leaves the church. It represents that. You know, Paul said to Demas, for Demas has forsaken me and love at this present word. Brethren, this young man was in love with the world. 1 John 2:15. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things in the world. But that's what had happened to him. That is what divided him. He didn't make this up in one day. He was divided. His body was at home, but his heart was in the far country. And you know what he's going to do now? He's going to bring them together. But he took everything with him into the far country. And the next point that I want to make on this is this. The Bible says all of that stuff he'd taken. Look at it. Verse 13 down. The Bible says he wasted it. He wasted it. Brethren, let me tell you, when a man leaves the church, he wastes everything. The first thing he done was he wasted all of his wealth. He wasted it. He spent all of his money in rice living. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. When you waste money, wasting money and spending money is two different things. When you use money on worldly projects, when it's used right, it's not wasted. You're not wasting it. Remember the rich farmer that God had blessed, and he said, Lord, I will do this, do this, and that. He used that word I about seven times. I counted it one time. But this young man, God called it, took his life that same night. But listen at this, if you please. When you take money out and you spend it in rash living, you waste it. That's what wasting money is. When people leave the church and live ungodly lives like this young man did, what do? You waste. I tell them in Mansfield, that a Christian will always prosper in every way. Why? It's because when they earn their living, when they get their paycheck, they spend it in a worldly manner. But the Bible says this prodigal, with his wicked living, he says he wasted. He wasted everything. And you know, he wasted his influence. He wasted that. He wasted that good name. He wasted that character. He wasted all of the things that had been given to him when he was at home. The Bible says he wasted his assets, a possession, with wicked living. He wasted it. And then the Bible says a recession. A recession came. And when that recession came, brothers and sisters, the Bible says this man had spent all. He didn't have nothing. And now he's looking for work. Now he's looking for work. And he found a job. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And they sent him into the fields to feed swine. Brethren, no job could be worse for a Jewish boy than feeding pigs. But the Bible says, y'all keep your Bibles open there, that he was so hungry that he desired to get out and eat with the pigs. The parts that he was feeding the pigs. He was so hungry. Now, brother, I've been hungry a few times in my life, but I never was that hungry. He wanted to get down. He desired to be fed and eat with the pigs. Desired. Brother, he was hungry. What will bring poverty in your life is wicked and right living. And when you leave the church, sooner or later, you head it towards that route. It might look good to you to start, but you're finishing over here. Doing those things, brethren, have consequences. Sin has consequences. On the housetop, looking into another man's backyard, and all of you know what happened with Bubba. It led David to commit adultery. It led him to murder a man. It led David to do all of that. Until it ended up, and when it ended up, when the prophet come down and told David what he had done, David got exceedingly angry. But David, he told David, David, you are the man. Sin has consequences. And it didn't stop there. That's a great study to be made on that. Now I want to tell you this. This man here was reaping the consequences of what he did. In Acts chapter 5, there were some church members that lied to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5. Both man and wife had conceived in their mind that they was going to sell some property, but they're going to keep all of it, some of it, but claim and tell that they don't give it all. Ananias and Sapphira. And when they asked them about it, they lied about it. The man told his, and they made up his mind. His wife come in later, not knowing what the husband had told, and she told her story, and they both died. Now, brethren, I'm going to tell you this. There's consequences to sin. There's consequences to sin. You're going to have to meet them one of these days. This young man here, the Bible says he is spent old. And when he came in need and wanted, no man gave him nothing. No man gave him nothing. But the Bible goes on and says more about him. Now I'm going to read that to you. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's hired servant have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Listen at this. Verse 20 tells us when he made that good decision, when he made that good decision, and he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. And he made that good confession. And verse 20 says, so he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a long ways further away, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell upon his neck. Brother, he made a good decision. Now, what I want to tell you all is this. The Bible says when he came to himself. What that means? What's inferred in that passage? That he wasn't at himself. Brother, when a person do what this young man done, he is not at himself. When a person gets up and walks away from the church, he's not at himself. He got some mental impairment. The Bible said when this young man came to himself, it took a lot to bring him to that point. The Bible says he wanted to eat with pigs. He wanted to get on his knees and do that. But when all of that, nobody helped him, you know what? He came to himself. Sometime you got to hit rock bottom before you think. He came to himself. Brethren, when a man, woman, boy, girl leave the church, you're not at yourself. What you're doing is crazy. And you're going to have to suffer the consequences of it one day. He came to himself. Then he began to think. Home don't look so bad now. It didn't look good when he was there. But now he's looking back at his home. He says, in my Father's house, that servant that have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. But now I want to say something else. This young man made a confession. Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. He didn't try to blame the Father. He didn't try to blame nobody. Who did he blame? He says, I have sinned before heaven and in your sight. And he didn't try to get back. He says, and I'm not worthy, Father. For the things I've done, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And what did he ask for? Make me as one of your hired servants. I've heard folk come to the church and make confession. And I've heard them say, I wouldn't have done so-and-so, but so-and-so did it to me. They done this. Look what Adam done. When Adam come to the Lord in Genesis 3, Adam said, Lord, that woman you gave it to me. But you know in the New Testament, the Bible says, Adam wasn't deceived, but so Miss Eve was. He had to suffer the consequences. Brethren, this young man had to suffer. And when he suffered, he come to himself. Meaning, he had a mental impairment. He was intoxicated on the word. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. He was in love with the word. He was divided. He wanted, it looked good to him out there. Proverbs 12 and verse 14 said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way it is the end of death. It looks good at the start of. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company will ruin good morals. This young man, but the Bible says he came to himself. Brethren, every time, all sin is away from God. It separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, 1 John 3 and verse 4. Listen at this. Every sermon. Why did God put this in the book? God knew that there would be people that would make the same mistake. They're not at this cell. Brethren, ain't nothing in this world as precious as your soul. Mark 8 and verse 36, Jesus said, what profits a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? What would you give in exchange for it? I talked to y'all about some people this week. I talked to you about that rich young ruler. I talked to you about the rich man and Lazarus. What would they give? What would they give? If they had one more opportunity, what would they do? But this young man, you heard me talk about plan two. This young man here, He realized that he was lost. And he saw something. He saw his mistake. But he knew that was a plan that he could use. He knew it was a plan. This is plan two, brethren. He knew that that was a plan he could use. He said, I will arise and go to my father. He knew what confession he was going to make. He saw his mistake. If you're here tonight, and I said every night, if there's something in your life that will keep you out of heaven, something that the Lord is not happy with, something that the Lord is not pleased with, you know to use what? Plan two. Now, this young man had made a good decision. He says, I will arise and go to my father. But he wasn't home yet. Babies are not lost. He wasn't born out there. He went out there. But I want to ask you this question. He says, I will arise and go to my father. He made a good decision. He was repenting of his sin. But I'm going to ask you this. What if he had died before he got to the father? Did you hear what the father said when he did to him? The father looked up and he was on his way. The father saw him, the Bible says, a great ways off, and ran to him, had compassion on him. What did the father say? He called somebody to him, fell up on his face and kissed him. And the father said, do what? This is my son. Dead and now alive, was lost and now found. He ordered his servant to bring a robe and put on his back, put a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet, sandals. What do y'all get from that? When he come home, brother, he come home naked. Y'all get that? He needed some clothes on his back. He didn't have no shoes on his feet. He ran. No man gave unto him. And he made that good confession. He said, Father, I have sinned before heaven and in your sight. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. And the father told him, do all of that. Kill that fattest calf. And let me have joy. The Bible said there's more heaven in heaven over one sinner that repented than over 99 just persons. The father said, we'll kill the fattest calf. What had happened to this young man have happened to a lot of people. Demas was a gospel preacher. Paul says he has forsaken me in love at this present world. But this young man came to himself. But I want you to think about this. Had he not made it home, what happened? Had he died before he got there, what would have happened to him? But he activated his decision. And he made it home. He wasn't born in a foreign country. He went there Babies are not lost. He was lost when he left home. All sins away from God. He went out there. And the Bible says he wasted his substance. Brother, when money is spent on a good cause, it's not wasted. It's not wasted. There's such thing as spending money and wasting money. What folks work all the week and they go out on Friday night and they waste their money. All of you can identify that. You know people that have done that. But when it's been old, nobody give him nothing. But the Bible says he came to himself. But I want you to think about tonight. We're going to sing the invitation in a little bit. What if he had died before he got there? Think about it. What about if you're here tonight and you got plans and you procrastinate and you said, one of these days I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to do what I know I need to do. What did Paul say in Corinthians? Today is the day of salvation. Brethren, you can count a lot of things. Remember this. You can count a lot of things. You can look in your pocketbook. You can count your money. You can check your gas, hand in your car. You can count that. You can check your oil in your car. You can check it. It's a lot of things you can count. But there are some things that you can't. And what is one of the things you can't count? It's how much time you got left. You can't count that. Sister Hazel used to say all the time, I'll do this, this, or that. And that's what the book of James said. If the Lord's willing. Don't say you're going to do this or that tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do. Ain't a person here tonight can guarantee you they'll be here when morning comes. You don't know. Don't know whether we'll ever see another minute. You can't see nothing ahead of you. The only time you got is now. Count the time that you got now. I've known people that procrastinate. I'm going to do this or that. This young man had died in the far country, brethren. He would have been in a state of condemnation forever and forever. Those people that are in the Hadean world, the rich man and Lazarus, the rich young ruler, all of those folks that lived back then, brethren, if they still laugh. If God would let that rich young ruler, I know he's not living. And if he never obeyed the gospel, you know where he's at? He's in the same place the rich man is in Luke 16. That's right. When you put off salvation, brethren, you're not acting sensible at. The Bible said when this young man looked back at it, he saw his mistake. But you know when the good thing he done? He says, I will arise and I will go to my father. People need to see their mistake. I don't know whether I told you all about this or not. But my uncle was preaching at 615 South Parkway. And Memphis. He was really a school teacher for a long time. His wife was still teaching. But he was preaching. I stayed with him. He was a great influence on my life. That was a man that had come from Texas. Had been with him ever since he'd been teaching. And I mean he was faithful. Ahikarava depended on him. Kind of like I depended on Brother Leroy to help me. This man was there to help him with anything that he needed help in. Sometimes preachers need help. But one Sunday morning, my uncle was preaching. He walked down the aisle. My uncle couldn't figure out what the word it was. He said, I want to make a confession and talk. Stood there, he looked at the congregation. And my uncle stood there with him. He says, I want to make a confession this morning. He says, I've been with you all several years now. I have married a wife and I even got children now. He said, but I ain't who you all think I am. He said, my name ain't what I told you. He said, I want to make a confession. And then I want you to baptize me. I want to be buried in the water of baptism under my real name. Everybody's eyes were like this. He said, when I do that, I want you to call the shed. Everybody was knocked down. They loved the man. The man had been doing everything. My uncle said, I can't hardly believe it. He said, Brother Bond, when you baptize me, call the shed. Because I come from Texas. I was running from the law. I changed my name. I done married a woman. I got children now. She said, but I ain't who I am. She says, I want to be baptized under my right name. My uncle baptized him. Put him in the water with a grave of baptism. And he got up and he was so happy. He says, I know I couldn't go to heaven like that. I know there's consequences that I got to go through. He said, but call it off. Sheriff come in, put handcuffs on him, taking them back to Memphis. But guess what? In a month's time, he was back. My Uncle Robert wrote a letter and told about him. He come back, he walked in the church, and he said, they put me on probation. I've been living a good life since. I wasn't who I was supposed to be. Said, Brother Bond wrote that letter for me. And he sent me back. I'm on probation now. They didn't put me in jail. Told me, go on back to Memphis and take care of your family. Brother, and I'm going to tell you something. What happened to him? He says, I came to myself. I saw the mistake I was making. I knew I had to suffer some consequences, but you know what? I couldn't be saved otherwise. I couldn't be saved. Brethren, every time I go to a congregation and preach, sometimes I wonder to myself, is there anybody there that need to come to themselves? Is it anybody there that need to look back at their life and ask, am I making a mistake? Am I acting wisely? It wouldn't be nobody here tonight that need to come forth. Think with me. There ain't gonna be nobody here tonight that need to come to themselves and says, I need to go up and I need to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin. I've done this or that. And use plan 2. God gave it to you. God gave it to you. Acts 8 and verse 22. 1 John 1 and verse 9, 10. The Bible says if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you. Brother, let me tell you something about plan two. Don't feel bad by using it. There never has been an individual that walked on the face of God's earth that hasn't had to use it. The prodigal son used it. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And what did God do? The Bible says He had compassion on him, ran to him. He come home naked and clothed him. This is my son was dead and now alive. This is my son was lost and now found. Listen at this. Plan two. You all know about Moses. When Moses was headed toward the promised land and the folks was making all them complaints. And Moses, God told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come forth. All of you didn't read that. And Moses went there and hit the rock. And a lot of folks said, well, Moses done what God told him not to. He did do what God told him not to do. But God said, told Moses, Moses, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. Moses said, must me and Aaron, must we bring forth rock? What could he bring forth? Nothing. And God said, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. But I was preaching somewhere one day, and I was telling them in Matthew 17, when Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. That's when Peter and them cried out, Lord, it's good to be here if you let us build here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And you know what God done? God interrupted that conversation. Told them, this is my beloved son, Jesus, hear ye him. Don't you, and Moses. But you know, Moses was there. They said, God told Moses, Moses, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land. I'm not letting you go over there. Because you fail. Moses didn't make it to the promised land. It returned over. It returned over to Joshua. But Moses was seen in Matthew 17. They was having a discussion. They was communicating. They was discussing things. What happened? You know what happened, brothers and sisters? Moses had used plan two. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There never was a human being that walked on this earth that didn't commit a sin. But what did they use? Plan two. What did this prodigal son use? He came to himself. And he knew God would forgive him if he got back home. Had he not made it home, he would spend eternity in hell. Now I'm asking you all tonight. Is it anybody here? You don't have to hold your hand up. Is it anybody here tonight that need to use plan two? Is it anybody here tonight that need to come forth? Come to yourself and realize, brethren, that heaven is there. Forgiveness is available to you. But what you have to do is you have to accept it. The Bible says this man came to himself. He saw his mistake. And he knew what he needed to do. And he said, I will arise and I'll go. Let me ask you all tonight in singing this song. I've enjoyed this meeting. I've enjoyed preaching to you. But let me ask you tonight. Is there anybody here need to you plan to? You look back at your life. This man looked back at his life. He came to himself. And he realized, knowing that he was still in the far country, realizing that if you die in the far country, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Why don't you make things right? This man come back to his father. And I don't care what your condition is tonight. All you got to do is just come forth, confess your sin, and have the church to pray with you and for you that your sins be forgiven. But brethren, you got to do that. You got that to do. That man that went to 615 South Parkway, folks didn't understand that. See, he was a fine man. But he stood up after all of that happened. Uncle Robert called the police. And he told them, I knew it. And I knew there was going to be consequences. But I want to go to heaven when I die. Brother, hell ain't nothing to play with. He says, I want to go to heaven when I die. If you're here tonight, my time is all gone. If you're here tonight, and if there's anything in your life, don't go home with it. Don't take it with you to wait in the building tonight. Come on up front. Nobody might not know nobody but you, but come on up front. Come to yourself. If you haven't been baptized, hear, believe, repent, and confess, and be baptized. And if you have been, use plan two. Repent and pray God, and he'll forgive you of your sin. Is anybody here tonight that need to obey that? Why did my son need that tonight? Come on, brother.
Who will follow Jesus?